this subject, but I don't think I've actually covered a sermon on the subject of bereavement. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. We'll do it for him. We're also going to do it for you, because at one time or the other, we're going to face a time of bereavement. Now, the definition of bereavement is a period of mourning. It's a period of mourning at the passing of a loved one. A period of mourning that happens at the passing of a loved one. And there is always, will be, what that period is different for different people. Do you all agree?
Yeah.
Some folks have a great deal of difficulty getting over it for a while. Sometimes I'm asked, how do you get over it? You want to know the answer to that? You don't. You don't. You just learn to live with it. All God's people say it.
Amen.
It gives you the grace to be able to live with it. You see what I mean? As far as saying when you get over it, you really don't get over it. That's something that'll be a hurt that bothers you all the rest of your days. Y'all agree? Everybody in the house agree with that? I believe I'm right. You never truly get over it, but God can give you the grace to live with it. All God's people said again.
Amen.
So that's what I'm going to be focusing on today. Perhaps I think everybody here in the church needs it. You might not need it today, but you'll eventually need it in your life. The message title is How Do I Deal With This Loss? How do I deal with this loss? Now, I've pastored a lot of years, and I've done a lot of services. I've done a lot of funeral services over the years, and I've watched people and learned from people. And you can learn a lot of things by just being there and of course, doing a lot of message. I think I've done 19 funeral services in 13 months. And that's, see, and I've pastored for 37, 38 years. So that's a lot of services. Y'all agree? That's a lot of services over the years. So I want to try to do a message. I'm going to do this for my buddy here. But I'm going to do this for you too and for me. And we're going to title the message bereavement. Okay? How do I deal with this loss? Well, notice what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. It's the first one. The first point, how to deal with this loss, is to weep. The first point, how to deal with this loss, what's the first point? You weep. You weep. Notice what it says in Romans 12 and verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. What else does it say? Weep with them that weep. God put that mechanism in us, if you want to call it that, and it's fitting at a time of someone's passing that their family and their friends cry. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. God wants us to. God put that in us. Do you agree? God put that in us, and He means for us to do it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verse 35, the shortest verse in the scriptures, it says Jesus wept. And He came there, and of course Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, and He knew He was going to raise him from the dead. But as He looked around Him, and Martha was weeping, and Mary was weeping, and all the people there was weeping, and you know what Jesus did? Jesus wept. He said, why in the world would He weep when He knew He was going to raise Him from the dead? I think that's an example that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, when we're in pain, it has an effect upon the Master. He cares for you. And I want you to know something. Nobody cares for you like the Lord does.
Amen.
I mean, He has a deep care. And when He seen the hurt in these people that were there that day, He wept. He wept. So Jesus weeping at a grave makes it fitting for us to weep in such circumstances. That, don't you agree?
Yeah.
One of the things that angers me, and a lot, I've heard this a lot, and sometimes people will come in and the person that died was a saint of God. They were a child of God. They went off to be with the Lord. And then the family members will be weeping, and then some Buddy will come in and say, "Oh, don't weep, they're with the Lord." Well, I know they're with the Lord. And that's the great comfort I have, that they are with the Lord and I'm going to see them again. But don't minimize a person's loss by telling them not to weep when it's not your dad and it's not your child and it's not your loved one. Yes, I know they're with the Lord, and I got a lot of comfort in that. But I want you to hear me right now. I and you miss them here.
Right.
Oh, God's people said.
Right.
Don't minimize people's grief. And I've seen people do that all the time. It hurts not to have them here. It hurts not to be able to call them up. It hurts not to be able to visit them. Know exactly where they're at. I rejoice in that. But I miss them here. Jesus knew Lazarus was going to get raised, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Jesus did what? He wept. I think it's just what the text is in Romans 12 and verse 15. It says to weep with them that weep. And I think that's exactly what Jesus was doing. And that's exactly what we need to do with regard to people. You know, somebody to weep with you, somebody loves you.
Yeah.
Y'all agree? Somebody to weep with you is someone that loves you. I'm going to embarrass Mike. Mike's back there. I remember. He probably won't even remember. But I remember the day I was at church. It was on a Sunday morning. It was on a Sunday morning, I think. I was at church. Let me put it that way. It was in one of them. And I loved my Uncle John. My Uncle John was my mentor in preaching. Whenever I went out and preached somewhere, Uncle John would set it up. I mean, he was behind my ministry 150%. He really was. Anytime I went out and preached somewhere, he'd call me and say, "Hey, I got you a place to preach up here. You come on up. You can stay with me and Mother. Bring the babies along with you." That's what he'd do. "And we'll have a big-eyed time." That's what he'd always say. And he'd always set that up. But I tell you what. When Uncle John passed, it just floored me. And I know where he's at, and I know he was better off, and I know who he was with, but it just, the thought of him not being here when he was one of the main ones behind my ministry, it hurt awful. So I've come to church, and I just had to go next door. I had to go because I found out that morning, and I probably shouldn't have preached that day, but I went next door, and I went over in where the study's at over there, and I just started crying. And then Mike Shamlin was over there with me. You remember Mike Shamlin was over there with me. Well, I looked up at Mike and the tears was rolling out of his eyes. He was weeping with me. Man, somebody loves you that'll weep with you. Oh, God's people said, weep with them that weep. Don't minimize people's grief by saying, "Don't cry, they're with the Lord." I'm glad they're with the Lord, know they're with the Lord. But you will always miss them. Miss them here. You always will. And the glorious thing was to be a great reunion day. We realize all that too. But until that day comes, you will always miss them. All God's people say.
Amen.
So weep with them that weep. Now we know of Job's friends, right? We wouldn't use them as an example, really, of someone that showed a good example of what to do when someone experiences a great loss. But when Job's friends first visited him, they did well. Did y'all know it? When they first visited Job, they did well. They never got in trouble. I don't know any other way to say this but gruff, I guess. They didn't get in trouble. They start running their mouth. Hear what I said? They didn't get in trouble until they started running their mouth. Here's what the book of Job says about them. In the book of Job chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, these were Job's friends. And here's what they did when they first came. I want you to hear it. It says they came. Said they what? They came. See, Job was sitting down in the dust. He was. He had some type of boils all over him, and he had scratched himself. He was itched all. He was in a miserable shape. Had some kind of skin disease. I don't know what it was. Many people think it was leprosy, but he was in bad physical shape. It had seven sons and three I think I've got that right. The seven sons and three daughters had died. 10 children had died. He lost all of his financial wealth in one day. So, buddy, he was just devastated. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, he goes and he sits down in the dust, and he had these friends, Job's friends. And if they would have continued to do what they did in the beginning that they come, it would have been so much better. Here's what the book of Job, chapter 2, 11 through 13 says they did. They came. They came. I've remember times that I've went to people in times of crisis, in times of death, and here's what they said. I don't remember what you said. I just remember you was there. And you being there meant a lot. All God's people said.
Amen.
I don't remember what you said. I just remember that you was there. You never forget the people that were there. Jeff Sexton talked about his friend Larry. And whenever Brother Jeff's daddy passed, he said every time I looked, he'd be there. He stayed there the whole time of the viewing. He stayed there the whole time I was there. And ever I looked, there was my buddy. Oh, God's people say it.
Amen.
He just remembered he was there. And he mentions it all the way down to the day. Means a lot. Somebody. They came. They came. Number two, it says they wept. It's in Job 2, 11 through 13. They came, they wept. Now, buddy, somebody to weep with you, somebody loves you. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
When they see that you're hurting, you weep along with them because they're hurting. Doesn't mention that, but they came, they wept. It says they sat down. It says they sat down. That means that poor old Job was in the dust there, it says in the book of Job. And then his buddies, when they got there, they just got around him. And sat down with it. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
They did great in the beginning. These are things that, I mean, that's why I'm using it as an example. That's just what you should do. They came. They wept. What else did they do? They sat down. And then what did they do? They said nothing. Because they seen how hurt he was. So he didn't say anything. He just knew that he was there. Now, if they would have only continued to do that and meet needs and things of that nature, it would have been great. But when you read the rest of the book of Job, you'll see that these friends said, now, the reason why this has happened to you is because you sinned. And they were wrong. And God told them, you have not spoke right on this thing concerning Job at the end of it. And he was so mad at them. God was so angry at his friends, he said, my servant Job will pray for you. Because his prayer I'll accept. You're talking about being angry. God was angry at them. Because they totally misjudged that situation. Well, in bereavement, the first thing you do is weep. You weep. And if you love somebody, and you're weeping, and you go to somebody that's experienced a loss, you weep right along with them. There's nothing wrong with that. You hurt because they hurt too. And that's somebody that what? That's somebody that loves you. Number one was weep. Dealing with bereavement, our message title is How Do I Deal With This Loss? Well, you weep. Number two, you go to God's house. I want you to hear this. You go to God's house. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Perhaps somebody here today that needs this too. If you don't need it today, you'll need it sometime. You agree?
Yeah.
You'll need her sometime. You'll need to put it into practice. Number two, you go to God's house. You go to God's house. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I want you to notice verse 15. David, does everybody in the house remember that David had a little baby boy die? How many knows that? Raise your right hand, I want to see. He had a little, He had a little baby boy that had died, a little infant son. And verse 15, and Nathan departed into his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child. You ever prayed for a sick child? How many have done that? Raise your hand. Ain't no type of prayer like praying for a sick child. I'm telling you. My little boy Isaac, my little grandson Isaac was in Columbus Hospital, Nationwide Hospital. I thought I'd die. When they took that little man back there to work on his heart, open heart surgery. Bicuspid aortic valve disease is what they said. Had to go in his little... when they took that little man back, I thought I'd die. I thought I did. I went in and I said, hey, I got one of them bicuspid things. He could have mine. And I would have given it to... Hey, I'd have done it without thought. Wouldn't you? If I got one of them things and he could use her, he could have his pawpaws. I done lived long enough. Wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
I would have done it in a heartbeat. The old doctor said, no, but yours is just entirely too big. Everything's on a smaller scale, you know, when you deal with him. He was a good man. And I tell you what, I didn't have no peace over that thing. Okay? David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and he went in, and he laid all night upon the ground. And he besought God for the child. And David fasted. And he went in and he laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house rose and went to raise him up from the earth. But he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. 7 days he laid out there in the ground. Laid face down and prayed, I guess. You did that, didn't you, Larry Eccles, for your daughter, didn't you? The Lord raised her up too, didn't he? And the servants of God feared to tell him that the child was dead. That's right. Well, if he acted like this when the child was sick and we go and tell him that the child is dead, what's he going to do? They're afraid to go in and tell him. And the servants of David feared to tell that child was dead. And they said, behold, while the child was alive, we spake, and we would not hearken until he would not hearken to our voice. How will he vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? And when David saw his servants whispered, he perceived that the child was dead. And therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David, look at David's response. Now what I want you to notice is what David did. Once he figured out that this child had died, I want you to notice what he did, how he responded to it. I want you to notice where he went. Verse 20, and David rose from off the earth, and he washed himself, and he anointed himself. He changed his apparel, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. That's how he responded to it. He didn't run away from the house of the Lord. Many people do that in times of loss and hurt. They'll run away from the house of the Lord. That's the biggest mistake you can make. You run to the house of God. Because the singing and the worship and the preaching and being around God's people is an uplifting thing for God's people. Man, you put yourself in a room somewhere with the lights off, it'll just drive you down lower. You need to be around God's people. There is a time of mourning, I realize that. But man, you need to go to the house of the Lord. And that's what he did in this situation. And they wondered about why he responded that way. Now look, I'm going to give you this, and I'm not going to preach on it, and I'm just going to read it to you. One of the blessed texts for someone that's lost a baby. This is one of the most blessed texts. If I ever do a service of a little baby, this is the text that I use. And while the child was alive, he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Now watch this. I shall not go to him, but he He said, I shall not go to him, but he shall... I'm sorry, let me read again. Can I bring him back again? I shall not go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He knew one day he'd see the child again. Isn't that a glorious thing? One day he'd go to see him. One day there'd be a reunion there, and that was a great comfort. And people that have little babies that pass, that's their comfort. You'll see them again one day, I think. Where did he go? He went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. You know what worship does for you? It raises you up. It raises your focus up. It might be a song, it might be a hug, it might be a handshake, it might be somebody's prayer, it might be the message, but there'll be something there at the house of the Lord that the Lord can use to help raise you up a bit. You don't get better standing home. You don't get better standing home. So when we're talking about bereavement, you weep. Number two, you go to the house of the Lord. David said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord for how long?
Forever.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Number three, you strengthen yourself in the Lord. You strengthen yourself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David was in a bad shape in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. An army had come in and they had took his wife's captains and there had been a time of great distress in David's life. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. But the text says that David strengthened himself in God. David did what? He strengthened himself where at? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to strengthen yourself in God? You best learn how if you don't. We have a great privilege of being saved that in this wilderness journey, when we go through times of trial and strife, when we go through times of loss, we have a God that can strengthen us. If you've ever been strengthened by God today, would you raise your right hand and rip it? If you've ever had God strengthen you and you've experienced it, He'll do it.
Amen.
He'll do it. I've been strengthened by Him. There's been times when I've had to preach at times of mourning, especially, and especially if it's someone that I love very deeply, that it is one of the most difficult things in the world to do. And up until the time I get up into the pulpit, I can't stop myself from crying. I said, Lord, I don't want to cry in front of all these people. I need to preach here today. And he helps me every time. And when I go up, I have the strength to be able to do it. You strengthen yourself in God. How do you strengthen yourself in God? How do you do that? How do you strengthen yourself in God? Here's three places you need to strengthen yourself. Are you ready? Three places you need to strengthen yourself. Number one, you need a prayer place. How many's got a prayer place? You need to have a prayer place, a place where you can go and pray. Prayer lifts you up. You know, God's people don't pray. They don't pray like they should. They know they should, but they don't pray. There's something strengthening about prayer. There's something that it really raises your focus up when you pray. You need to have a prayer place. I have prayer places. I have several different prayer places that I go to. And I take a list with me. I pray for you, and I pray for lost people, and I pray for sick people, and I pray for all. I mean, I have a place I pray. If you want to do something here at this church, why don't you pray? Don't you get your big old list and become a prayer warrior and pray? That makes a difference in a church. That makes a difference in everybody. Pray. Pray. So you need a prayer place. To strengthen yourself, you got to pray. When I get weak and down or discouraged, you know what I do? I go pray. I know that's what I need to do. I go pray. Now, of course, I'm hyper. I can't sit still. And I do my best praying walking. I walk out to Plymouth Hollow, where I got a couple places where I can walk, where I won't really be bothered, and I pray. And I pray. Sometimes I walk around my backyard and pray. I can't remember who it was, but somebody, I can't remember if they asked Debbie or who they asked. If they asked somebody, I think they asked my son. They asked my son. They said, who's your dad talking to around back there when he's in the back there? I looked over the fence, and I never seen a soul.
He'd be ready to call cookie truck, I think. He really was. He just thought I'd lost my mind. I was praying. That's what I do. I have to talk out loud when I pray. That's what I do. I talk out loud. Walk out through there and I'll pray. And man, I tell you, that prayer strengthens you, me. Have you ever been strengthened by prayer? Raise your right hand. And you feel weak. Hey, listen to me. When you feel it, that's when you pray. You feel it, and that's when you get alone, and you unload all these things on Him. You need a prayer place. That's how you strengthen yourself in God. In bereavement, you need to strengthen yourself. And one way you'll do that is by prayer. If you don't pray, it will go downhill. Prayer is one of the keys of it. It's how you give thanks. It's how you give praise. It reminds you of all the great things He's done. You need a prayer place. You need, number two, you need a Bible place. You need a Bible place. You need a place where you can study His Word and read His Word. Have you ever been strengthened by God's Word? Boy, I hope you. If you haven't, then you need to get in the book. You need to get in the book. It's so important to have a place where you can be strengthened by God's Word. Great words in the book that will help you. I like the Psalms, especially when I'm hurting, don't you? I love the Psalms. I like to read the Psalms. These are songs of Israel that they sung at the temple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has been an awesome thing to listen to. You need a prayer place. You need a Bible place. If you get outside of God's Word, it'll go downhill worse. What God's Word does is it refocuses you. Number three, you need a church place. Church is an assembly place. You need to be around God's people. You'll hear a message at church. You'll hear a song at church. There's people just like you here that's went through the same things that you have. And you can be encouraged at church. Jesus said in Hebrews 10 to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. Strengthen yourself. That's the third thing you need to do. You have the ability to do that if you're saved. Brother Daniel thought so much of prayer that when they outlawed it, you know what he did? Daniel was an official in the Persian court. Y'all realize that he was an official in the Persian court. They made a law that if you prayed to anybody other than the king, that they'd throw you into the den of lions. They'd throw you in the lion's den. Can you imagine such a rule as that? Well, Daniel was probably at the time around 75, 80, 90 years old. He was there during the Babylonian reign, and this was the Persian reign. You know, when he found out the king passed that law, you know what he did? He went home just like he did every day. Here he had a prayer habit. He prayed of the morning, he prayed at noon, and he prayed at evening. He had a regular set times that he prayed. You can see it in the Psalms too. Well, what it says that he did is when he found out that law was passed, he throwed open his sash. I kept the sash shut, wouldn't you? God can hear you anyway with the window. Hey, couldn't God have heard him anyway with the window shut? It was a matter of principle. This man that said I couldn't pray. And I'm going to show him I'm still going to pray. He opened that window up. He got down on his knees just like he did before. And he prayed. And he got turned in for it too, didn't he? He didn't let that stop him from praying. Morning, noon, and evening. He prayed. He would rather be thrown into a lion's den as miss a prayer meeting. Oh, God's people's there. That's dedication right there. Well, you strengthen yourself by going to God's house. You strengthen yourself by prayer. Number four. Remember these two promises when you're hurting. Remember these two promises. Are you ready? Number one, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All God's people said.
Amen.
Y'all believe? You might feel alone, but you're really not. One of my favorite texts of Scripture, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, I will be with thee. Be not afraid, I am thy God. I'll help thee, I'll strengthen thee,
I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Joshua 1:9, be strong and good courage. Fear thou not. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
You know, anywhere I go, I'm not alone. It helps me, don't it, you?
I never face anything by myself. God is always with me. Well, you might feel alone whenever someone you love passes, but you're not by yourself if you're saved. All God's people say it. Amen. God is with you. He's with you. He loves you. He'll never leave nor forsake you. That's one precious promise, isn't it? Let me give you one more. God will provide sufficient grace for whatever you face. Paul was given in 2 Corinthians 12:9 a thorn in his flesh. Most people think it was his eyesight. We don't know for sure, but something that, some type of affliction that bothered him. And instead of taking the affliction away, you know what God did? He gave him the strength to hold up under it. That's what he did. He gave him the strength to hold up under it. That's exactly what he did. And what I'm trying to tell you, for what the Lord doesn't take away, hear me, for what the Lord don't take away, He'll give you the grace to hold up under it. I think that's a big deal. Told you about his brother Steve Ruby just a couple weeks ago. I'm going to tell you about him again. That's what he believed. He had that cancer. Horrible. Had it for several years. And he's just about like Big Al. He was the happiest sick man I ever seen in my life. Ever seen a happy sick man? You ever seen a man that had cancer that was happy? Ruby was the happiest man I ever saw to have the affliction that he had. Ruby told me that he felt, Jeff, he said, since I'm so happy and God's given me such grace, you know, he said, I'd like to be healed, but God for some reason has chosen not to, but I am happier now than I've ever been in all my life. That's what he said. I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. And he said, I think it's a greater miracle than if God had healed me. All God's people said. I agreed with him. Y'all agree with him? He held him up. He was inspirational. Well, Ruby remembered those two promises. He's remembered that God never leaves nor forsakes you. He's always with you. You're never by yourself. Whenever God wanted to comfort a child that was afraid, that's what he tells them. I'm with you. I'm with you. And he'll always provide sufficient grace for what you need to go through. Do y'all agree?
Yeah.
For whatever you need to go through, he'll provide you sufficient grace, which is strength, to be able to hold up under. Last of all, I'm going to give these to you again. I'm just about done. There's a text. I believe it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, but it says, remember, two are better than one. It says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. But then it says, but woe to them that fall and have no one to help them up. That's how the text goes along that line. Two are better than one. When someone goes through bereavement, they need somebody. They need somebody. They need Christian friends to be there. Dan, we'll use your example again. You care? I'm your buddy. You don't care, do you? I'm going to do it anyhow, so you know. It's family here. They went through a house fire, house fire. And killed their mom and dad and little brother. That was horrible. And I ain't going to go into any details about anything, but that was a rough time, wasn't it, Stewie? Me and Stewie worked together up there on that loading dock. And he stayed home for a bit. And you remember, Cheryl called. She called. I told you she called me all the time. Cheryl called, and I said, well, I think you ought to come back to work. I said, Stu, I don't think you ought to come back to work. I said, at least when you're working, and when you feel like you can't work, then you'll walk, remember?
Yeah.
I said, then you'll go for a walk. We walked down the tracks and we had an apple tree down there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Walked down there and get apple. Best apples on earth was down there along that railroad track. I don't guess that tree belonged to anybody, did it? Anyhow, we'd go down there and get apples. So we'd take a big walk and go down to there. I'd watch him. I could tell when he's feeling it. I'd say, "You ready to go for a walk?" And he said, "Yeah, let's go for one." We'd go. We'd go. And we'd talk. I'd let him talk. I'd let him cry. If I go with you, two are better. Good to have a buddy.
Amen.
Good to have a buddy when you're hurting. Oh, God's people. Good to have a brother or sister in Christ that you know, is close to you and will just go, just be there. Listen to you if you want. If you want to quarrel, they'll listen to you quarrel. It's good to have a friend like that. You never get over such things. But that's how you deal with it. Those are the things that God gives us to be able to deal with it. How do I deal with this loss? You weep. You weep. Number two, you go to the house of the Lord. Number three, you strengthen yourself in God through going to your prayer place, your Bible place, and your church place. If you do like me, you have a walking place too. Number four, you remember these two promises. Never, He will never, never leave you nor forsake you. Never be alone. Though you feel lonely, you'll never be alone when you're saved. Even when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, what did He say? He said, "I won't fear any evil because Thou art with me." Every step of the way. You've got a promise He'll never forsake you. Promise that He'll give you grace to hold up. Has God ever given you grace to hold up? Is God not able to give you grace to hold up? He's able to give. And last of all, remember two are better than one. Sometimes God will lay somebody on your heart because you need to get in touch with them because they may just need you. Oh, God's people say it.
Amen.